Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, glad to be here.
Glad to be here as well. And we are back for another episode. This is episode 165, number 3 in our series, Understanding Bullying.
Yep, we're almost done with this series. It's going to be a four-parter. Kind of what we're doing is we're looking at what it means to be genuinely caring and kind to other people around us, and also understanding what to do when they are not kind to us, right? That's the whole point. And so the idea here is to understand bullying. Because, you know, we can't correct anything we don't really understand fully. So we're just trying to kind of walk through what bullying is. And the way we're doing that is by talking about the players or the characters in bullying. So there's four main, if you're looking at any bullying situation, there's four main players or characters. The outsider, which we did in the first episode of the series, you can go back to 163 for that. That is, when we say outsider, we mean the people that are vulnerable to being bullied. They're vulnerable to being the victim, which we'll talk about today. Those are the people that are, for whatever reason, we talked about that a lot, and then how we can not make people outsiders, how we can bring them in, how we can not be exclusive, stuff like that, right? And then last week, we talked about the bully. The other character in the situation is you have the bully. Mm-hmm. And so we talked about the bully, and that was really an episode directed towards, it's actually a really good one. Directed towards, towards the bully, and what to do if you find yourself being bullied, or find yourself being the bully. I mean, we even prayed for that whole situation at the very end. And today we're going to talk about the victim. Next week we'll wrap the thing up. We may do one extra one, but I think next week we'll wrap the thing up talking about the bystander. But today we're going to kind of tackle the victim. This is what I'd call victim week. This is the people that are being bullied by someone. And next week we'll tackle the folks, all of us who have been and continue to be at some points bystanders to victims. So, what I want to do is just kind of, this will be a shorter episode, but I don't think we need to get into the fact of proving that you are a victim. If you're a victim, I think if you're a victim of bullying, you know it. And I hate it and it sucks and you should not be. And like we reiterated, I'll reiterate from last week's episode that we said, you know, that God is personally offended when people bully or intentionally mistreat or harm other people. There has never been a person that God has created that he is okay with that person being bullied, right? There's never a person that God doesn't care for and wants to be mistreated. Nobody. No matter what their sin is, their issue, their differences, their color, their race, the way they vote. Nothing, right? The stuff that they have, the stuff that they don't have, their physical limitations, what they look like, their mental capacities. There's no reason of anything of a person, a human being that God's ever created that he's okay with being bullied. So if you are a victim, I don't need you to talk you into knowing that you're a victim. You know that. But just because you are different in some way or vulnerable in some way does not mean that it's okay for you to be a victim of bullying, right? You're not. And so what we want to do instead is sort of talk through the two different responses we must have or do if we are a victim. So if you're a victim, there's two responses you got to have. And, of course, we're taking this from a Christian perspective, but I think it applies all the way through. There is a heart response that you got to have, and then there is a physical response that you must have if you are a victim of bullying, a heart response and a physical response. So let's talk through the heart response. So what we mean by that, what I mean by that is an internal response that you have to have if you're being the victim of bullying, right? And then we'll talk about an external. So we mean heart, physical, and then, or internal, external kind of thing. So, the heart response that you've got to have to bullies if you are a victim of bullying is that you've got to love your enemy. Now if you stop and think about that, the call to love our enemies is one of the most striking commands in all of Scripture. Like, I don't know of anything, yeah. I don't know of anything harder to live out in this messy walk with Jesus than loving your enemies. It is the most shocking command that maybe the most shocking command that Jesus says, and that you see all the way through Scripture. Because enemies are by definition people who are opposed to you, mean to you, at odds with you, and there's this command for us to love our enemy. So that if you're a victim of bullying, your heart response has got to be, as a Christian, is that I'm supposed to love this person. And that's hard to do because they're jerks and they treat you poorly. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to love somebody who treats you like crap. You know what I mean? It's hard to do. But yet, here you see it. And then it's not just you hear this command through Scripture. You see God live this out through the person of Jesus, in his response to his enemy. Not like Jesus is loving and caring for the people who are killing him literally, and he's also loving and caring for the people at the same time who are killing him figuratively, and that would be all of humanity. That would be us too. You know what I mean? It's like Jesus didn't just love the executioner. He loved us who caused him to be there to begin with, right? Because we're sin. You know what I mean? So this is hard. This is a hard thing, right? But I'm telling you, if you find yourself, if you've been the victim of bullying, if you are currently, your heart response has got to be in line with Jesus, and that is to love your enemy. Steph, read Matthew 5. This is a longer piece of Scripture.
Yes, so it's verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?
Yeah, this is a big Scripture. I mean, what Jesus is basically saying is that anybody can love their friends. Mm-hmm. Because anybody can love somebody who likes them and treats them nicely. That's not that big a deal, right? So, you know, people who do not love God, people who are not Christians, people who are disconnected from that, even people who are, there's a pagan reference there, tax collector reference. Mm-hmm. That's not being exclusive. It's referring to people outside of the kingdom of God. And in their time, they consider tax collectors the worst, right? Mm-hmm. Even they can love people who love them, right? So non-Christians can love people who like them. It's not hard to do. But to call on the Christian is to love our enemy. So if you are the Christ follower who treats the people who treat you nicely just fine, but then you don't treat the people who treat you poorly nicely, you could have missing the whole thing, right? Like,
yeah.
The call on the Christian is much greater. Call on us is much greater than that. And so obviously this does not mean, and by me talking through your heart response if you're the victim, obviously this doesn't mean that you've got to become best friends with your enemy or that you continue to allow them to bully you, right? That's not what we're saying. There is such a thing as loving from a distance, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times when you love your enemy, this heart posture, you're not going to do it literally to their face. You're going to love them from a distance. You're going to have appropriate boundary so that you're not mistreated, but you are going to cultivate an attitude, a heart, a posture of love towards people who are mean by you. So how can you love your enemy while not subjecting yourself to being continually hurt by them, right? How do you do that? Well, in other words, how do you love from a distance? You can pray for your enemies. Very hard to do. I tried to do this a lot, by the way, and it's extremely hard. It is hard for me to... There's a particular group of people that have hurt me deeply and that I think are mean and are continually mean, right? It didn't just go away. It's just out there. And it's been mean to my children. They've been mean to my family. They've been mean to my church people. They've been mean to you, Steph.
Yeah, they have.
And it's really hard for me not to sit around and go and have my heart just go, oh, I hate those people. I hate those people. You know what I mean? The only thing that combats that hate is this decision is to have this heart posture towards, I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. I'm supposed to love them. How can I love them from a distance? One of the ways I can do that is pray for them. And it's hard to pray for your enemy.
It is.
It's hard to pray for somebody who's been mean to you. Like I sit down, I try to do this quite frequently, by the way. It's probably once a week where I'll go, I'll feel this hatred, I'll feel this annoyance, and I'll go, I'm going to pray for them. And it's almost impossible for me to get the words out of my mouth, right? Like it is so hard for me to say, God, I hope you bless A, B, C, D when they've been hateful to me. You know what I'm saying? Like it is just hard to do. But that's one of the ways you can love from a distance is you can pray for your enemy. Have you ever tried that? It's hard to do.
Yeah, I have. But it's usually after I've talked about it nonstop and then gotten mad about it, gotten upset, and then finally I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to pray. And then when I do, I'm like, I feel a little bit better.
Yeah. It's hard to do though.
Yeah, it's totally hard to do it first.
It is hard to request blessings from God, guidance, whatever, for people who have been ugly to you.
It doesn't come naturally to you.
It does not.
You know, you have to push past
it. It does not, right? Yeah. It is hard to do. So how do you love your enemy without being in a situation? How do you do this from a distance? You pray for them first. You can also decide not to retaliate, right? That you're not going to treat them the way they treated you.
Even though
it feels like they deserve it and it feels natural.
Yeah.
The way you can love your enemy, the way you actually play this thing out is you can decide, I'm not going to do what they did to them, right? I'm not going to treat them like this. And then another thing you can do is you can avoid bad mouthing them or gossiping about them. Right. So it's I'm praying for them. I'm not going to do what they did to me. And I'm going to not talk crap about them to other people behind their back. It's hard. But you got to remember, and I think this will help you, if you remember what we talked about in the last episode, that most bullies are victims of bullying themselves. Right. That this may help you if you find yourself as a victim of bullying, adult or student. It may help you to continue to remember, wait a minute. Most people that are doing this has happened to them, to remember this huge big thing that hurt people. People who are hurt, what they do is they hurt others. So one way that it helps me to actually pray for and love my enemy is to remind myself that more than likely that person got this too, right, from somebody. And that's why they're perpetrating that to me.
Yeah,
right?
You got to think about that compassion
right,
that part.
Hurt people. So I'm going to see them where they are. I'm going to know that they're hurt too. And sometimes that just comes out, and that's just part of it. I'm not going to put myself in a situation, but my heart posture is going to be, I'm supposed to love my enemy. My command from Jesus is to love my enemy. What good is it for me to love people that like me but not love the people that hate me or don't like me? And I'm going to remind myself that hurt people, right? So that's sort of the heart posture. That response that you've got to have if you find yourself as a victim of bullying, and then you've got the physical response that you've got to have. So that was the internal one. Now this is like the external one. Mm-hmm. Right before this scripture that we just read, right before Jesus told us to love our enemies, he told us how we should act towards our enemies. Steph, read the verses right before this. What was these, 38 through 42?
Yes.
Yeah, still in Matthew 5.
Okay. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you.
Yeah, so this is a big deal. What Jesus is saying is that we take the power away from the bully when we love them and are generous with them, right? Even from a distance, we take the power away from them because they can't take from you if what you're met with is generosity, right? If you're giving it, then they can't take it, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take, right? And Jesus is saying, you're taking the power away from them completely if that's the case. And he uses this idea of if somebody slaps the other cheek, turn the other cheek, right? Mm-hmm. We got to understand what's being said here, because what we don't want you to do is go, okay, the person listening, I'm a victim of this. Somebody's treating me badly. I'm going to love my enemy from a distance. I'm going to change my heart towards them. And then I'm going to keep letting them slap me in the face, because Jesus just said, turn your cheek and let them smack the other one. So turn your cheek, let them smack the other one. That's not really what he's saying here. And you got to understand what he means by this. In our culture, when we hear somebody slap you in the face, we think of a physical, hard, hurting slap, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is referring to, there was this cultural situation of their time that the way that you would insult someone is by the slap on the face. But it wasn't this open-handed smack, hurt you, leave an imprint on your face. It was a tap on the cheek. It was a touch. And what it was is it was a cultural insult, right? Not a, you just got punched in the mouth, right? That's not what that means, right? So when he's referring to this, he's not saying, in no way is Jesus telling you that the call on the Christian, that your response to being a victim of bullying is to sit there and be punched in the mouth and keep being punched in the mouth, punched in the mouth, punched in the mouth. He's not calling you to get physically hit, physical violence towards you, and to take it, right? Like, if you're listening to this right now and you're in a physically violent relationship, you're a woman or a man who's being treated this way, Jesus did not just tell you, it's okay, keep getting beat up.
No.
Right? At all. That's not what he means, right? The examples that you see in that scripture that you just read in Matthew, they're a matter of inconvenience. And that's the way this insult was. It was a matter of inconvenience, the cultural reference to the slap on the cheek. Like, if you look at the list of what he just referenced, he referenced money. He referenced a minor insult. That's what that slap on the face was. Time, physical tiredness, clothes, comfort. They are minor inconveniences, matter of inconveniences of the time. This is really important to understand in the scheme of things, because while we are called to go above and beyond for our enemies, we're not called to stick around and get mistreated. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So your heart response, if you're a victim to bullying, should be, I'm going to love my enemy, even from a distance, right? Your physical response should be, I'm not going to repay evil with good, right? I'm not going to repay evil with evil. I'm going to repay evil with good. I said it wrong, right?
Yeah, and I didn't even catch it.
That should be our physical response. I'm going to repay evil with good. But that does not mean you sit there and keep getting beat up and hit and bullied, physically bullied, and not just physically. Like, you don't just keep sitting there being mistreated or being cyberbullied or emotionally bullied or whatever it may be, emotionally abused. You don't sit there and keep doing it. That's not what Jesus is calling you to do. What he's calling you to do is you have a physical response of, even though I am being treated this way, I'm not going to repay the evil that I get with bad. I'm going to repay the evil that I get with actual good. You're not supposed to repay evil with evil, right? And so you ain't got to go above and beyond and keep getting stick around and being hit. But you're going to go, I'm going to put good out. I'm not going to put evil out, right? Read Romans 12, 17 through 21. This is sort of a reiteration of this in a separate form in the book of Romans.
Okay. Do not repay anyone evil for evil.
Right. Same thing, right? And he's pulling this from Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah, so he refers to the fact that vengeance is God's. And that if you repay evil with good, you are actually heaping hot burning coals on their head. This is a big deal.
I think about that a lot.
This is a big deal. What that means is that you are taking the vengeance, the payback, the making things right, mm-hmm. right? You are putting it in the hands of God. And God's going to take care of righting all wrongs, right?
Amen.
Everything, right? Even mine. Right?
He's a just God.
He's going to take care of righting all wrongs. Mm-hmm. So by you repaying good with evil, by you not going, this person has bullied me, mistreated me, I'm going to mistreat them back, you are putting the vengeance in the hands of where vengeance is due, which is the Lord's, right? Because he's the only one that's righteous and holy, and he's the only one that has the right to enact vengeance and reorder things and all those kind of things, right?
Amen.
He's the only one who can do it.
That's right.
So the call here is that the fact that the vengeance is not ours. Now, did you notice in that verse that it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody? As far as it depends on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is great advice. You can control what you do, and you can cause peace to happen. So if you find yourself as a victim of bullying, you can, as far as it depends on you, decide, I'm going to love them and pray for them anyway. I'm going to create distance and a proper boundaries where I'm not being abused. You know what I mean? Not being bullied. But then I'm also not going to then repay this evil with good, because as far as it depends on me, I'm going to try to live at peace with everybody, even the people that don't like me. I'm going to try to live like Christ would, right?
That's right.
Live a holy, righteous life, right? And that's great advice. You try to live at peace with everybody. But the reason that verse is written that way is because it takes two to actually do this, right? As far as it depends on you, you can't control what somebody else does. You can't control how they act, how they react. You can't do it, but you can control you. And so it takes two to live at peace. Sometimes the other person is going to make it impossible for this to happen, right?
That's true.
That there won't be actual full-on reconciliation in this process.
And it sucks.
It does. And you don't have to feel like that the only way that you can be holy and righteous is to have this reconciliation created, because it's as far as it depends on you.
Yeah.
Right? You can't make this happen. And so other people are going to do whatever it is, and it makes it impossible for that to actually happen, right?
Yeah.
So if you find yourself as a victim of bullying, you got to think about how your heart is going to react and how your physical body is going to react, right? You're going to create a mindset and a heart posture towards, I'm going to love my enemy even though they hate me, right? Because that's what Jesus does.
That's right.
Right? And even if I want to do that from a distance with a right boundary. And then I'm going to physically say, I'm not going to physically react and repay that evil with more evil, right? As far as it depends on me, I'm going to live at peace with everybody. I'm going to do what I can do, and I can't control what somebody else is going to do. And so if there's not reconciliation, the other person has made it impossible for you to live at peace, then that's the way it is. But you are physically going to make sure that you are not being abused, but you're also not going to abuse back. That's the idea, right? That's the idea. And this behavior that we are called to as Christians, it is not easy. Like, this is the most difficult stuff in the world to walk out. Like, as a Christ follower, these things are probably the most difficult thing to walk out. This is where, you know how when we talk about, in the church world, we talk about spiritual maturity a lot. And what we tend to think of when we think of spiritually mature people are people who know the Bible and pray, and go to church and serve and give and all those things, right?
Yeah.
The most spiritually mature people you will ever meet are the people who can do these difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
The people who can say, I'm going to love people who hate me. I'm going to pray for people who hate me. I'm going to pray for people who treat me poorly. The most mature people you'll see are the people who will go, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to do this back, right? As far as it depends on me, I'm going to live at peace. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to repay good towards the evil that comes towards me in this world. Just because somebody treats me poorly doesn't mean I'm going to treat them back poorly. I'm not going to then therefore treat somebody else poorly because somebody treated me poorly. You know what I mean? The most mature people in the world are the people who live these things out. And this is the hardest stuff that you'll see. That's why these are the most spiritually mature people. Most spiritually mature people are not the people who know the most Bible. They're the people who live the most Bible.
Yeah.
Right? Not the ones who know the most. They're the ones who live the most. And what's funny is that you can be spiritually mature by living very small parts of the scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like James talks specifically about this idea of, I call it, you listen, you learn, and you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you hear something, you hear it, you listen to it. When you actually learn it, you do it. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing it, you never really learned it, right? Because when you learn it, you do it. And so people who are very spiritually mature, they have heard these things through Scripture, through the Spirit, right? And then the reason you know that they've learned it, they've matured in it, is because they actually live it out.
Yeah.
And it is very difficult to do. Following Jesus is very hard.
Yes.
And it is very hard to do that in a world that seems like this thing's backwards. You know what I mean? It's just really hard to do. If you are somebody who has been a victim of bullying, it is very hard to follow Jesus in these commands. it is much easier to put a wall up and go, I hate that person.
Yeah.
Right? It is very easy to then also go, I'm going to give them what they give me. I'm going to repay evil with evil.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do that. It's very difficult to follow Jesus in this stuff.
Yeah, the world says clap back or be petty.
Absolutely. Yep. It fire it right on back. Give it right back, right? And pray that and pray and hope that and sow into the universe that they get what they gave, right? Yeah. And what Jesus says is don't do that. Yeah. Pray and hope that they get better than they gave.
Yeah, and we are supposed to have self-control.
Yes. And that's a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yep.
That's another reason why you see somebody walking in the fruit of the Spirit spiritually mature is that you'll notice that there's a lot more self-control. Mm-hmm. I can control myself when somebody treats me poorly and still end up treating them okay.
Yeah, because you might feel like slapping them.
Absolutely.
But if you don't, you're walking in that self-control.
That's what I'm saying. And that is some hard stuff to do.
Yep.
You know, not everybody is going to be, this is talking about the victim of bullying.
Yeah.
Not everybody is going to qualify themselves as a victim of this, but we all get mistreated.
Yes.
Right? We all get dismissed and left out.
Rejected.
Intentionally rejected. Mm-hmm. We all get talked about behind our backs, our faces. We all at some point get physically intimidated by people. People decide to physically intimidate us, right?
Mm-hmm.
This happens with the vast majority of women are physically intimidated all the time.
Yeah.
By various different men and other women.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, vast majority. And then not even leave men out. Lots of men are physically intimidated intentionally by other men who are bigger than them, right? It happens constantly. This is all going to happen to us, even if you don't consider yourself the victim of bullying, right?
Yep.
But the idea is to follow what Jesus says in this, and I'm just telling you that's really difficult to do, right? I don't even know how to say, like, Adam, how do you do this? I don't know, right?
You just do it. I mean, like, you might not want to or you might not remember it in the moment,
right.
But at some point when you are quiet, you're like, oh, hey, I'm supposed to pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to do this a while back.
And you just do it, right?
Yeah. It comes back to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of this is how do you actually do this, Adam? How you practically do this? Part of it is you just do what you're told when you realize it. You know what I mean? Like you're just saying, when you realize it, when the Spirit convicts you, you go, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be this type of person. I'm supposed to be like
not
Jesus.
This, yeah.
I'm not. And then you practice it. But then also, a lot of the times, how do you do this? You're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
so the more
absolutely.
Open you are to God leading you, God, lead me. I'm going into this situation with this person who mistreats me. Holy Spirit, lead me in how I'm supposed to act. And the Holy Spirit does it. So how do you do it? The Holy Spirit does it. You just want to yield yourself over to the Holy Spirit doing these things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you make yourself when you realize, and then all the other times you're just trying to lean into the Holy Spirit helping you be more like Jesus, right? This is hard to do. Following Jesus's commands on this stuff is so difficult. But this is the stuff where Christianity changes the whole world. This right here. If Christians, all of us, I want you just imagine for a second, if Christians all of a sudden decided they weren't going to talk ugly to people that talked ugly about them. Like if just picture social media, how it would change. If Christians decided all these people are going to talk nasty about Christians, but we aren't going to talk nasty about them.
Yeah.
It changes the world. I mean, it really does. It changes everything. And that's the power that a life in Jesus has. But it's hard. Like, it's just hard.
Yeah.
If you're a victim of bullying, you having the heart posture and the physical posture that Jesus requires of you is very difficult to do. Very hard to do.
It is.
So next week we're going to talk through the bystander and be prepared to be convicted. That one is extremely convicting. So, and that'll wrap up our bullying series.
Yeah. Would you pray for the victim?
Let's do it. We did this last episode. You had me pray for the bully last time. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. You're good to us and kind to us all the time. So we just pause right now. Whoever's listening, wherever they're at, we just pause. We give you thanks for the fact that you love us and you care for us. We give you thanks for the fact that you could have came to this earth and been righteous in treating us poorly because we deserve it. but you didn't see us that way. You don't see us that way. You love us. And so, Lord, we just pray right now for those that are being victimized by whatever the bullying format looks like, physically, emotionally, spiritually victimization. There's so much of that that happens in the church. Mm-hmm. Lord, whether it's online, just mistreatment, Lord, we just pray for those people right now that they would not succumb to that type of lifestyle, that they would not put themselves then in a position to end up acting just like that person that's treating them that way. Lord, we pray that your supernatural power would help them to love their enemy, even from a distance, but to love their enemy. Lord, maybe right now we just all stop, and if there's somebody treating us poorly, just right now we just pray, Lord, I pray that you would help that person that's bullying me. Maybe you need to say that as you're praying, that you, Lord, you would help that person that's treating me poorly. God, I'll just pause right now and try my best to say, Lord, I pray that you would bless those people who talk ugly about me and my family and have not treated me nicely. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd bless their church. God, we ask you also to just help those that are being victimized, Lord, to not repay evil with evil, but instead repay evil with good. That you would help us to, as it depends on us, show us where it depends on us. Show us what we can do and what we cannot do. And let us be okay with the fact that we can't control what the other person does. Let us be okay with the fact that we can still live at peace even if that person doesn't want to reconcile or doesn't ever apologize or never confesses, Lord. Let us just do what we can. And Lord, let us just, we need your Holy Spirit's guidance because living like this is so hard to do. Mm-hmm. It just goes against everything we as humans want to do to make things right, but we want to trust the fact that you're the only one that can make things right, and we want to just submit to your will. Lord, help them in that. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to just say, it's going to get better.
Yep. It's going to get better.
So be encouraged.
If you know, I do fully believe that if you put up the appropriate boundaries and you keep your heart guarded and your physical guarded and mm-hmm. you don't turn into that same person that's doing that to you, it does get better.
Yes.
It will get better. So.
Yes, and just heavily relying on Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.